the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. If you're looking for a smart and emotional love story that tackles some really big emotions, then you need to grab a copy of Four Weekends and a Funeral. Author Ellie Palmer is joining us today to talk more about her novel. Ellie, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So can you set the story up for us? Tell us about Allison Mullally, your main character.
Yes. So Four Weekends and a Funeral follows Allison. The book is a bit of my love letter to the 90s rom-com films that I loved. Mm. She arrives at her ex-boyfriend's funeral only to discover that no one knows he dumped her. And she agrees to play the part of the grieving girlfriend for the sake of the family and pack up his apartment, which would be totally fine if she wasn't also falling for her ex's very off-limits best friend.
Oh, which always makes for all kinds of tension, right?
Absolutely. All of the rom-com hijinks ensue.
Yeah. So where did you come up with the idea for this story? I mean, in particular, I think the title, you know, Four Weekends and a Funeral.
Yeah. So I grew up watching every rom-com I could get my hands on. I loved Four Weddings and a Funeral and the story of like big emotions, friendship stories. And then this particular plot has a lot of inspiration from While You Were Sleeping, which is one of my favorites with Sandra Bullock. And I've always really loved those stories where there's, you know, the premise is big. There's so many zany things happening. But at the core, it's a really emotional story about these human things like loneliness and grief and trying to find yourself and accept who you are.
Well, and I think, you know, that's part of, I think, what was so great about this book is there is that, like, that rom-com, right? So it's fun, it's zany, but at the same time, when I said you cover some big emotions, you do, I mean, you're talking loss, grief, but even this idea of survivor's guilt and with that, like, are you worthy to be happy when, you know, in Allison's case, her ex-boyfriend, you know, passes away. So did you go into it really knowing that you would be tackling these big emotions?
Yes. So I had thought of this premise a while ago of what would happen if you showed up to someone's funeral and maybe an ex and no one knows that you'd broken up. And then you kind of walk in and you're this imposter in this role of being like the grieving partner. And I just like, it was something that sat on my shelf is like, I don't know what I would do with that. It seems like such an odd premise. Where do we go from there? And then a few years ago, I'm a carrier of the BRCA1 genetic mutation. I got my mastectomy and I was reading a lot of romance novels and watching a lot of rom-coms and kind of experiencing those stories. And I just really wanted to see someone who was dealing with this and viewing it as the beginning of a love story, a mastectomy at the beginning, instead of this thing that you're worried about in the future and how that might change the way that you approach a relationship. And so then kind of combining those two ideas together, where the odd thing about hereditary cancer is the way you discover that you're able to prevent it is someone else in your family got cancer. They had to go through the whole process of chemotherapy and treatment. And that in my family was my mother. And she had to experience this really traumatic battle with cancer. And then I had the information I needed to prevent it. And it kind of creates this odd relationship between your family members who are the only ones who really understand what it's like to get a mastectomy, but had a very different experience going into the mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it might be the perfect type of person for this premise of being an imposter at a funeral is also feeling a bit like an imposter in your own health story.
So talk to us a little bit about why it was important for you to kind of take what, you know, happened to you, right? Discovering you had the BRCA1 gene, getting a mastectomy, and then putting that in Allison's character, who, by the way, she's what, 30 years old, and having to, you know, go through this same journey in some ways that you did.
Yeah. So she's 30 and I was 32 when I got my mastectomy. So it's recommended, especially if you know you have the gene early in your life, to get it as early as you really can. And I, growing up, knew this was in the cards. My mother had cancer when I was quite young. And I really was living kind of from this place of fear more than I realized, where I really wanted to get things accomplished. I wanted to check these boxes in my life before I got this mastectomy. And I was moving towards it almost as though it were some sort of ending to my romantic life, to this part of my life that I had been looking forward to, being in my 20s, dating. I really felt like I had this clock on me, even more than women often feel. And I really thought, I wish I had realized that it wasn't an ending. It was just a thing that was going to happen in my life, and I could continue on. And I wanted this story to be out there where the romantic journey, a journey of love and self-acceptance, could begin here rather than end here.
So I want to talk a little bit more about something that you said, and that was in particular when you said, you know, you felt like the clock ticking, right, in your romantic journey in your 20s, knowing that you would eventually have a mastectomy, right? Mm-hmm. Because I really think within our so much of our culture, and I'm not talking just romance novels and you know, romance shows and all that. I think it's within our culture that so much of our culture revolves around women being sexually desirable, and in particular our bodies, in particular our breasts, right? That is like such a big thing in our culture. So when you sat down to write this, you know, were you also thinking about that? Like, you can still be a woman and be desirable and have these feelings, right? Even after you've gone through something like this.
Oh, 100%. That was something that I think was in the back of my head as I was preparing for a mastectomy, that I wouldn't feel sexy after it was done, that I would have lost this part of my femininity and that I'd never be able to get it back. And after I had the mastectomy, I didn't feel that way. I was able to, it was a transition, it was a shift, but I was able to get used to my new body and feel all those feelings again. And so I wanted Allison's journey to reflect that too, that it can be the beginning of romance. It doesn't have to, it's not an ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's so important, right? Because as you said too, that, you know, here she is 30 years old, she hasn't found the one. And I think you already feel pressure within our culture as a 30, so having met my husband when I was 31, getting married at 35, you know, you're already kind of getting the side eye, right? So then you put, you know, her health journey as a part of that. And I think you write kind of so beautifully as she's kind of, in a way, re-coming into her own, if that makes sense, in this book.
Absolutely. And one thing that was so familiar to me as someone who was reading romance novels, especially in the preparation for this big surgery, is that within the way that we even talk about women's sexuality, breasts are such a huge part of it. And her being the heroine of a romance novel and having this difference in the way that she perceives her body and the way that her relationship with her body has changed and how that's affected her identity. I really want that. I really wanted that reflected in there too, along with this idea of family planning is more complicated when you have this genetic mutation. And that's already something that women are worried about, but with this added layer, it just kind of adds on top of it and create greater anxiety and that sense of, I need to keep moving. I need to be doing something different. My world needs to be bigger and faster, and things need to be moving along.
So one of the things that I read, is that you said that this book is a love letter to those who help us find humor and hope in the midst of heartache. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I found that to be just so beautiful, because whatever that heartache is, right? Whether it's a breakup, whether it's death, whether it's a mastectomy, right? There, to have those people who can just really see you and make you laugh and give you that hope that not all is lost is so important when you're in those moments of your life.
Yeah, so for me, it was my friends, my family. Whenever I'm going through anything tough or complex, they're always there for me. And even within the rom-com genre, we really are trying to laugh through these tough things. Like we're still trying to find the moments of joy, the moments of happiness and humor. And life doesn't stop just because you're falling in love. Like everything else going on in your life is continuing, and all of the things that you're dealing with and trying to accomplish are still happening in the background. And in those moments where you're dealing with something incredibly difficult, you're still trying to experience love and joy and friendship and family.
Well, I want to thank you so much for not only writing the book, but taking time out of your schedule to talk to us about it. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.